In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
They're 25th in points scored per game at under 17, 31st in yards, less than 250, 24th in rushing, less just under 96, 30th in passing, 152.3. Boy, I'm glad we have a quarterback that's making $46 million a year to be 30th in passing, bringing back reminiscing of the good old days of Deshaun Kizer and RG3 and Colt McCoy and every other crappy-ass quarterback that's played for the Cleveland Browns over the last 30 years. Like, I'm so glad this guy is making $46 million a year so that the Cleveland Browns can be 30th in passing through 3 weeks of the season. Has he thrown for 200 yards yet this year?
No.
Okay.
And that's why I don't get mad when people, like, I'm going to be honest with you, this is kind of behind the scenes. When someone brings up Joe Flacco on our show middays, Jeff and Dan just roll their eyes back into their head. They're tired. I don't blame Browns fans for wanting to use Joe Flacco as a reference point because A, he was on the couch, and B, he was churning out 300-yard games. I understand the interception part of it. I get it. And I also understand Deshaun's record and how Deshaun's record looks really good. But you know what? Browns fans saw something, and they feel like they got special, just something felt special about Joe Flacco. I don't know that Joe could repeat that again this year. I can understand that they moved on to him, but I'm not getting mad at anybody that brings up Joe Flacco. I'm sorry.
It was Browns fans' first taste of a legitimate, fun, high-powered offense since Derek Anderson in 2007. It was the first time you saw a high-flying, can score from anywhere on the field and just absolutely carve up defenses through the air type of offense since Derek Anderson in 2007. It was the best five-week stretch. I bring it up all the time. The locker room, most fun I've had covering this franchise since I've been covering it going all the way back to 99, either on a full or a part-time basis. I started full-time in the 2008 season, but it just was a fun 5 weeks, and the locker room just had an energy about it. His teammates gravitated to him. And this is a guy that was on his couch. Here's the thing, Andy, they don't gravitate to Deshaun.
I was talking to a coach today, and we were talking about, the Vancouver Canucks were struggling. We were actually talking hockey, but I think this applies to every sport, okay?
Browns are the Vancouver Canucks? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's about philosophy inside a locker room and who the leaders are and how good you can be and how things can get toxic when you don't have the situation. And I think you have to ask yourself, and I don't know. I don't know Deshaun's work ethic. I don't know if he's the first one in, last one out. I don't know where he is in that thing. But the platform was set to make me think about it and wonder where he is in the spectrum. And the thought process was this: if your best player on the team is the hardest worker on the team, then you're going to have success because everyone kind of falls in line and they understand that if someone's going to work hard, they're going to play hard. I don't know. You describe it. You're around it a little bit better. Is that the situation we're looking at in Cleveland? Because I hear a lot of like finger pointing, and I don't know that it's right or wrong.
I think that what you're getting at is what I call authenticity in leadership, right? So Deshaun's a team captain. He's also a guy that's been accused of some really awful stuff off the field. That's your team captain, by the way. Okay. Who gives the pregame pep talks?
It's not your backup quarterback is doing it right now.
Right. It's not Deshaun. It's your backup quarterback. So, yeah, I do think that it's fair to ask questions about authenticity in leadership. I think Deshaun Watson's the captain is a captain because he's the starting quarterback and they gave him $46 million a year. I don't think he's a captain on merit. Joe Batonio's a captain on merit. Charlie Hewlett's a captain on merit. Miles Garrett's a captain on merit. I don't think Deshaun Watson's a captain on merit. He's a captain because he's the starting quarterback and he's making a ton of money. Like, and, you know, I said this earlier, I don't think players gravitate toward him. I don't think Amari Cooper gravitates toward him. Now, when I say that, and I want to be very, very clear, because I don't want it to come off like I'm like stirring up some crapola here. But what I mean by that is, you know, it that doesn't mean that players don't like him or players don't respect him or there's animosity or toxicity or whatever. It's just the energy around him isn't there. Okay. He's not an energetic personality. Like, I remember how Amari Cooper was last year with Joe Flacco. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember how he was with Deshaun, what he turned into with Joe Flacco, and what he's back into with Deshaun again. Okay. And again, like that's not meant as a criticism, even though I realize it comes off that way. But like, yeah, I think that there's something to be said for authentic leadership. And Myles Garrett can bitch out a player for not a teammate for not going all out in a drill or not doing something, right? He's got the resume. Can Deshaun Watson do the same thing? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just today he kind of rubbed me the wrong way in his press conference because I just don't hear a lot of
rub you the wrong
way. Here's all I hear. I hear Kevin Stefanski saying, "It's on me. Blame me. Blame me. Blame me." And I get it, and I respect him for sticking up for his players
for 4 years.
I know, but at the end of the day, it's going to be his job on the line, and he's going to end up getting canned, as we've seen thousands of times hundreds of times in the NFL before, where if you say it's on me enough times, eventually when you don't win, it is going to be on you. Right. Everything is. And it's not just a matter of sticking up. Now your guys in your locker room are never, ever going to forget the fact that, you know, they made a mistake. They saw it in the film room or the tape room and they get it. And the coach didn't throw them under the bus to the media. And I'm not asking him to do that, but at some point he's got to say, "Hey, the offense," like he was talking about the offensive line today, and he goes, "Oh, it's on me. It's on me." Well, what part of throwing a block is on you? All you can do is teach it. And if these guys can't read a play or are having trouble executing what you put on paper, how is that on you? But you want to keep saying it's on you? Eventually, it's going to cost you your job in this league.